Now, we're doing some technology this morning. The Liberian Evangelical team is supposed to Skype in this morning as they did last time. It won't be a two-way. They'll be here to listen to the message. So Tori's back there right now trying to see if they'll connect this morning. They had to travel to do that because they do not have Wi-Fi in the area where they live. So just before, they're trying to call now. The elders sponsored an appreciation dinner last night for our deacons and ministry leaders. And just wanted to mention, you'll notice that those deacons are giving the greeting on Sunday morning, and there's purpose behind that. As we met last night with them and just said how much we appreciate what they do for us, you know, one of the things we said is they're not one among that group that we don't see as a future elder in this congregation. And so we thought perhaps a way for them to be seen before the congregation, develop their leadership, connection with the congregation, that we would give the welcome to them. So that is a little background behind that, why we're doing that. So where do we stand? All right. There's Jonathan. Good morning. So they're going to have to switch screen. So Jonathan is the head of the LET, and you'll hear me shorten that to say LET. And so the team has traveled this morning. How far was it? How far did you have to travel to get Wi-Fi?
Oh, yes. We are in Canada right now, but in the same time, we got trouble.
We can hear you fine. And there's Calvin, and of course, there's Mary and Lennon. And so this morning, I'm going to talk about the trip. And this was clear back in May, but I was under threat of punishment from Janet if she wasn't here to get to hear this. So we've kind of scheduled, and finally it's here. So team, we're going to talk about the work in Liberia, my trip there. You'll recognize a lot of this, and so we certainly appreciate your efforts. And at the end, we'll talk about where to from here. And I know that, you know, in fact, Jonathan's been having trouble with his laptop. He's taken it to several shops. I believe they are probably on Lennon's computer this morning. So with that, we welcome you, team. And I'm going to switch over now to my presentation. You'll be able to see that. And at the end, then, we'll talk about where to from here. Yeah, like I told Jonathan, I had a hard time understanding him there also. I was able to understand Calvin pretty good, and you know, one time I was asking Lennon, Lennon, you know, what language do you speak? Well, they said it's English. And we were sitting there, and so all of a sudden Lennon gets on the telephone or yelling at somebody. I said, but Lennon, that wasn't English. He says, yeah. So it's kind of a mixture, and they shorten their words, and so kind of pointed out that, I guess you could call it pidgin English. So I kind of gave him a hard time, And Jonathan did get impatient with me. He did yell at me a few times when he had to repeat things. But we got along just fine. So this was in May of this year. And just to give you a perspective here, where Nigeria is, this is all in Western Africa. And lately, if you're not aware, I've gone back to work in D.C. I'm there every week right now, but starting in September, it'll be every other week. But the reason I wanted to kind of get a full map here is because I've got guys in the office and I've met people in restaurants that are all from this area. The other night there was a lady from Burkina Faso, which is north. And there's the guy that picks up our trash in the office. He's from Guinea. And there's another guy from Ghana. So they're all right here in this area of Africa. Now, I went to Nigeria. And this is where the Joss School of Biblical Studies is located. The school just celebrated its 25th anniversary last year, and we have been supporting that school almost from the very beginning. We flew into Abuja, and you know, this was not a restful trip because a week before I left, I got an email from Solomon Agu. He's the president of the school, and he says, "Greg, did I tell you that you're doing the commencement address at the graduation?" And I said, "No, Solomon, you didn't." And so immediately, now I already had a lesson to give at the lectureship, so then I had to do the commencement address. So I had a 10-hour layover in the London airport, and so that's where I started turning my notes into the commencement address. So I flew in and arrived in Abuja at 5 o'clock in the morning, and that was Monday morning. And Steve Worley and his driver picked me up. And Adam Cox is another member of the team. He lives over in Savannah, Tennessee, along with Steve. And actually, Adam is going to kind of follow along behind Steve and take over this work. So we had to wait for him to arrive also. So they picked me up. We went to this is a Catholic hotel, I guess, if you could call it. There's no religious stuff really going on there, but it's run by the Catholics, and they use this as a place to stay overnight because you don't drive at night in Nigeria. It was a 3 to 4 hour drive from Abuja, which is the capital of Nigeria, up to Jos. So we spent the day here, picked up Adam, and then that night we went into town. Now, on the right here, that's what $2,000 worth of Nigerian money looks like. We exchange our money. And this is the money that we gave to the team to travel back to Liberia following graduation. Now, in the end, they actually took the bus back and were able to have some of this money then to get them started. They were going to fly, but they took the bus. So we exchanged money, and then the next day we drove up to Jos. Now, I stayed in Steve Worley's house, and this is my work area. And this picture shows one of my two best friends. When I was there, my battery-powered fan and a flashlight. The power was intermittent and perhaps might be on for about an hour a day. Now, imagine, the biggest stress of my daytime was, would I have enough power to charge my laptop so I could continue to type up my notes? You can see my laptop sitting here. Unfortunately, yes, I just left it plugged in at night, and then the power would come on, and magically in the morning, things would be charged up. That meant no AC, just my fan, but I doubled that. Adam gave me an extra fan, so that helped out some. The area is very rocky around the area. We're in Plateau State there. Joss is in Plateau State, and this is kind of looking out from Steve Worley's patio, and so it's very rocky. And you can see on the left there's a house that's incomplete, and I actually ask about that, and over there they build when they have money. So when they have money, they put more bricks on. And then when they run out of money, the house sits unfinished until they finally have enough to fix it. But it's a very interesting landscape with a lot of rocks. The grounds of the school are also very rocky, and they have to blast and dig. And so this is Lennon here on the left. In case you don't know, Jonathan and Lennon are brothers. So I had a chance to sit and talk to each one. So we had a nice talk before, you know, I was able to talk to the others. The school itself is growing over 25 years. The first building was the church building, and you'll see, the inside of that. Right now, they're building a women's dorm. So if ladies come right now, and it is a co-ed curriculum, they have to stay off grounds. And so when Jonathan brought Mary back in the third year, I think, they had to find a place. Fortunately, it's right across the street from the school. So they are building a dorm. And I guess between the time I left and just a month later, they put in the top. This is the basement, and they put in the floor across that. So now they're building up. So the week started out with a lectureship. And a typical lectureship focused on Christianity and Daily Living. Solomon kicked this off on Wednesday morning with the keynote address, and then they had a booklet, a schedule, and my lesson, fortunately, was on the first day, so I was able to get that out of the way and focus next on commencement, the commencement address. So they had a booklet, and this booklet has the dormitory or the classroom building on the front here. So they have a nice classroom building that they built, and then the men's dorm is off to the left of that. So the classrooms are nice. This is the classroom where I gave the lesson, and my lesson was on giving. And then, you know, each morning they had morning speakers starting out at 8 o'clock. Now, the picture on the left is the guy that opened the door and me taking the picture, and that's 8 o'clock. The picture on the right is 8:30. So this is where I learned about African time. I said, well, if this is 8:30, and so I didn't take a picture at 9. I mean, the speakers are supposed to start, so I wasn't sure how this worked. And what was interesting is that I actually, as part of my commencement address, before I ever, you know, noticed this time, is that as part of what the message to the graduating students was, keep commitments and be on time. And they actually questioned me about that. So you really do that? I said, yes, we do. I do. So I hope they took it to heart. But the thing is that even though they don't start on time, what's happening is the interaction between the people. Their greetings are probably, you know, 30 seconds longer than ours. It's different. How is your family? How is your night? So they're interacting. Outside this building all around are the people, and they're interacting, and they had, you know, ring a bell to get everybody inside. So the lectureship was Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and then on Friday night they had a graduation dinner for the class. Now, just to put our students in perspective here that we supported, this is Rachel Lagu. This is Solomon's wife. And by the way, we got to attend her birthday party. She turned 60. She turned 60. So her and I were able to communicate because I just turned 60. Anyway, what was interesting here is that there were about 12 awards given out Friday night at this graduation dinner. Our students got 4 of those. Lennon got 2 and Calvin got 2. Based on leadership, based on their connection with people. Lennon got the award for, and I don't fully understand, I didn't get to talk to him in too much detail, but the award for the best agricultural application. They teach these students how to go back and do, for instance, drip irrigation. And so Lennon got the award for just kind of being the best student in that area. So, and then Jonathan, he led the prayer for the dinner. So our students were very involved. And there is another student from Liberia there that's a relative, a cousin, I believe, who will be finishing up this year. So graduation day, this was on Saturday morning. And so this is, on the left is right after they marched out and I had, we'd finished up, I was sitting up on the podium. And so this is the church building. Where on Friday, then I found out I was supposed to preach on Sunday. So that was a third thing that I found out. Now, I kind of got an indication there, and I had, you know, a sermon prepared. But Adam, on the other hand, had to go preach out in town, and he had a very late night, I believe Saturday night, preparing. So this is the church building, and then the grounds you see here, the library in the background. This is after graduation, people gathering, and so it was quite an affair. So this is the class of 2015. There were 35 students in 2-year programs, 3-year programs, 4-year programs. So there's all kinds of programs that people can go through here. So it's a mixture. So I kind of captured our students here. These were candid shots, you know, and I look at their faces and they say, you know, what's ahead for us? We all remember graduating from high school, college, and so Jonathan's on the upper left, and Mary, and then Lennon down here in the lower left, my left, and then Calvin. Now, Calvin's look is, man, what am I doing here? But they have all went on to now do great things in Liberia, and the work is just, you know, just starting. So graduation, And there's the graduation class and me. And then they gathered with friends. And these, I didn't get to know all these, but this is a mixture of friends and it's a mixture of members of congregations. So during the 4 years, for instance, Jonathan taught the youth class at this church here on the grounds. Every Sunday they went out, probably most every Sunday, preached somewhere else. And so these are the friends that came to celebrate the graduation. And they had a graduation ceremony afterwards. We gathered in one of the classrooms, and the classroom was packed with people. And these are, here's Mary with several of her friends, members of congregations. And so Mary, she's the baker of cake. So the women also learn ministries. Now, remember, ladies, we sent a suitcase packed with hair stuff. By the way, that suitcase did not make it with me. And so the morning, Monday morning that I was departing, we had to go to the airport very early, and it was there. We'd been informed, and it was there, and it was way in the back, and they had to dig it out. But we did get it. And Titus, the driver for the school, took it back, and Mary got it. So she is now using that in Liberia. But she also bakes cakes. So she baked the graduation cake here for the Liberian party ceremony. And this is the team, all of us cutting that cake together. And then they distribute it to everybody in the room. Ronald here, he's the other Liberian student. I believe it is their cousin, and so he'll be graduating this year and going back. He was the MC of the ceremony, and each of the students presented us with their thesis their project that they wrote while they're there at the school. And I have those, and I promise I'm going to read them. I'm having a hard enough time keeping up with my daily Bible reading, but I'm going to read those. And Jack, I'm going to read your book too, promise. It's on my reading list, okay? So anyway, they gave us their projects, and if anybody would like to look at those, they're very interesting topics. I remember Jonathan's is that the impact of education, biblical education, in the growth of Liberia. So a very important topic. And so then they presented gifts to the students, farewell gifts. And I guess I just didn't realize the impact here. These students were deeply involved in the local churches and community. And so this was, though it was a celebration, it was also a time of sadness. I took a picture here of this lady sitting here. I said, why is she not happy? Well, her friends are leaving, and it was a kind of a sad day. The lady here on your right here in the red dress, when they had a time of making comments, she just cried, and because, you know, she just did not want to see them go. So it just gives you the impact. So the only relaxing time we had is after graduation on Saturday. We went out to the wildlife park in Joss, and this is the one time that we hopped in two cars and drove out to this wildlife park. And the menu, I forget to mention here, the main food here is chicken rice. So we had chicken and rice at the wildlife park, and they challenged me to eat with my fingers. I did, but I also found out that piece of the thigh or breast bone makes a real nice rice scoop. I was able to switch, and they couldn't really say anything because it was a natural part of the meal. But we had a good time there walking through the park together, and these are all the friends. And I think most of these live in the little house. So think of a house probably about the size of some of ours, and it's surrounding this little plaza, little patio area, and all of these people live in that house. So they're very close. They got to know each other, and so we all went out here together. So after we went to the park, we drove through town, and Jonathan said, do you like plantains? I said, yes, I like plantains. Now, they're the dry fried green banana. So I've had those before. So we're driving through town searching. This is a time during a political transition to a new president. And so when that happens, there's no money. And so the trash collectors were on strike. So you can see a lot of trash built up. Very busy market town. And so people have asked me, well, were you afraid? There was really only one moment that I was really afraid, and this is it. Now, do you notice what's going on here? We're on the the side of the road that where the oncoming traffic, the other side is where we should be, but they build their road so there's very few crossings. And when it's under construction, it's okay to drive on the wrong side of the road. So I was literally hanging on to my seat here with oncoming traffic, and eventually then we were able to shift over. But, you know, all these unfinished roads, but hopefully now with the new president, things have settled and they're beginning to build. Now, Mary is a great cook. And I think one of my favorite meals here was on the left. This was breakfast. This was the plantains with, I would call it kind of a bologna with sauce. And Mary finally got the message that I like spicy. And so she spiced this up. The day before, I had spicy rice. And then the other thing that they eat is it's a root crop, and they take it, they cook it, and they put it in balls, and then they wrap it in cellophane. And then they peel that off with their fingers and dip it in. They call it soup. It's kind of a mixture of herbs. So this was dinner one night at the house, their house, across the street. The only problem with Mary's cooking is she would not keep putting it on my plate. I said, Mary, that's enough. I can't eat anymore. And so they give you a lot. And Jonathan informed me, got to eat it all. I said, Jonathan, I can't. I can't eat it all. So the food, I like the chicken and rice. I like this meal. The food was okay. So not a lot of peace, like I said. The only peaceful moment I had was walking between Steve's house, which is on this side. So that's up the hill. And then turn around, and I'm walking down towards the school. And I'd make this walk each day, taking my camera. And so I would take pictures of the lizards and the birds. I even had a gecko in my room one night. So watching the lizards chase. But once I got down to the building, it was time of study and work. So the people, I would have to say that the people there have never met an American they didn't want to have their picture taken with. I had got $5 for every picture, I'd be a rich man. Now on the left here is Mimi. Now I wanted a picture with Mimi because it's Mimi's cooking that we ate every day at the lectureship. She would do all the cooking. She's the school chef, and that's her husband George. And she's just a very nice lady, and she did all the cooking. Now, the others are just people that said, can we get our picture taken with you? Now, Tunde here, this is my suit that Jonathan bought me. But he wanted a picture with me, put it in an envelope, gave it to me, and he said, the man who has a quiet wife, and I don't know, he hadn't met Terry, just a really nice person. I really enjoyed talking with him. This is the church, so this is right after I finished preaching on Sunday. They're packed, standing room only. About the same size congregation as us, so they're struggling right now with what to do. So you can see the chairs lined up down the center pew, and I was up here on the front. It's pretty packed. Their service is pretty much just like ours, really no different. So their congregation is also growing. People on the left, don't know who they are. Group came up, said, can we have our picture taken? So very friendly people. Now, on the right here is Justice. Justice was he's a college grad, and if you graduate from college under the age of 30, you must serve for the government for 1 year. So he was on an assignment at the school, Christian, member of the church, and he was helping to build the catfish farm. And so I got to know Justice, and we still stay in touch. And this is the lesson I learned with Justice is he likes Snickers. And so I said, okay, I'll send you, and Kit Kats. So I bought $15 worth of Snickers and Kit Kats and found out that when you ship more than 4 pounds, it's expensive. So it cost me $60 to mail the Kit Kats and the Snickers. They finally got there just a couple days after his birthday. It took about a month to get there. Don't know what condition, but he enjoyed the Snickers. He's just a fun guy and does a lot of posting on Facebook and a thoughtful guy. So we after Sunday, then we drove back to the airport. It was just Titus and I. It was a quick drive, and it was very relaxing after all the work. And so, just things along the road here. We've got some people transport, and then we've got some chicken transport. And I drove up alongside this car. I couldn't take a picture through Titus, but I said, I'm curious about this. So, yeah, when we got up there, the chickens were right here. I'm telling you, right here. We got cattle transport. And then we've got some kind of bags of vegetation. Don't know what it was, but there are many cars carrying these bags of stuff. This picture here that you see, I didn't quite get it in time, and Titus kind of chewed me. I said, I know Titus, but I just wanted to get the picture of these four people that were on that one motorcycle. So a little 125 motorcycle had four people on it. Now, guys, we've been talking about what we can do out here during VBS when traffic goes by. We just need to do like they do. I said, Titus, what is this? I said, well, when the villagers don't want people to go through fast through their villages, they put their own speed bumps. I don't know how they got that big rock. So you have to slow down. This is the Sunday gas line. It goes on for about a half a mile. Gas at regular prices is hard to come by, and so you sit in line to get gas. Now, you can get gas on black market, very expensive. So Titus is driving here, and he's got cans in the trunk that he's going to fill up when he can. You go to Nigeria, you have gas stress. Here it's whether Quick Trip will have ice, you know, for your drink. But it's interesting, a lot of closed gas stations. Countryside looks about like our Southwest, driving back to the airport here. This is their main road, so it's kind of like our freeways, but, you know, very crowded in some areas. And then, like I said, Monday morning, got up early, got our suitcase back to Titus, and then I got through security, and this is the ride back to London. And what's interesting here, I didn't realize, is once you get on this plane and you take off, they walk down through the aisles with the bug bombs, spraying for mosquitoes. So one thing I want you to think about is going there next year. Some people say, well, I don't have the money. We're going to try to cover the cost. This is a great place to go. The people are very, very loving. Despite the heat and any other inconveniences, the people are wonderful. And so just for that, I would encourage you to go. So where to from here? The team has gone back to Liberia. They've been working. I know that Janet sent out the newsletter, so please take a look at that newsletter. It tells you what they've done already. They've kind of gone back and forth. We have provided $900 to rent this building. But then we kind of talked about it. A guy from a school said, we'll use the school. But they've kind of decided that they think that this is the best option because it has living as well as a meeting room, and they're waiting for the owner to kind of do some renovations. And the $900 will rent this building for 6 months. They're also going to do a radio program, and that's free for the first 6 months. Jonathan just asked, and then get the radio program for 6 months. Radio is the most effective way over there to get the word out, as I've learned from Barry Smith. Barry Smith is a guy over at Madison, Tennessee, goes to Africa, checks on works, will help us and check on our work. Haven't decided whether I'll go with him in January, but he's going over there in January and is in the area and even knows people that the team knows. So Mary's ministry is going strong. This is her gather around. As the newsletter says, it's a big thing for the people, the ladies, to gather around and talk about doing their hair, and it's a way to reach out. So we're going to continue to support this work. The Sand Springs congregation, the elders have decided to continue. We're calling ourselves the coordinators so money can flow through here. Call it sponsoring congregation. We're going to continue to support this great work in Liberia as time goes on. So please, I urge you to read the first newsletter. Now, after I got through in Nigeria, I did go back up to Europe and I visited the Faroes over in Belgium. Now, Jean Faro, we support him in Belgium, and he travels to Africa and does work in French-speaking African countries. So we have actually helped him on a trip where he went down and did a gospel meeting down in Africa. So we support that work. So we're very active in Africa at this time and probably will become more active. I am concerned, though, for the church in Africa, because what's happening in Africa, they're splitting. The congregations are splitting in Africa over things that we split umpteen years ago. This is Samuel Shute. I was sitting in studying for one of my lessons, and he came in and said, "Brother Greg, want to talk to you about something." And he's from a very small congregation, 20 people. And he said, "What do you think about this?" Preacher one morning gave a sermon, and at the end of the sermon, he asked if there were any questions. And a woman raised her hand to ask a question. And so this little incident, well, the preacher, first of all, ignored her, because after all, women do not speak in service, right? And so this caused a problem. And in the end, the preacher left. I can only imagine maybe 20 people, probably very close, probably family members, and the preacher left over this. And now I understand this preacher's out with, you know, preaching the message, women shall not speak in the church. Now, we know about that. And my concern here is unity in the future, unity in the church. So this is not about whether what was done was right or wrong. It's what can we do to maintain unity in the church? Remember in Corinthians where Paul talks about, you know, this issue of food offered to idols. And what I seem to find in Africa is that money's not power, it's knowledge. And so people that have been to Bible college and go out as preachers sometimes lord it over the congregation. This is Paul warned elders not to do. The preachers there do that. And if you can think about it, you may go to a congregation, there's not a lot of education. But then preachers come in, and I was talking to a few, and they do sometimes go out and do that. So first of all, I want to urge our team in Liberia to go into the cities and villages and the churches that may not have had a preacher for a while. They may be weak. Liberia's had a lot of trouble over the years. They're still recovering from civil war. But go in with love and thinking unity. Because knowledge, as it says here, you know, makes us feel important, puffs us up. But it's love that really builds the church. As I wrap up here, think of the night that Jesus was crucified. There's two things, one thing that he did and one thing that he prayed about. Remember what he did that night. He spoke to the disciples for a while, and then he washed their feet. And it says here, "Do you understand what I was doing?" Now, in Nigeria, sometimes they take things very literally. So there are congregations that do foot washing, and we've had them here too. So what do we say? Because is that really the point? The point here is that Jesus was serving people. And we should serve each other. It shouldn't be just about us. It should be about unity of this congregation. So what are we doing as the Lord's servants to keep unity, to serve each other? Because when we're busy serving each other, we don't have time to think about ourselves. And the other thing, of course, that Jesus prayed about them is unity. Remember, his prayer said, "May they be unified." So here's a Savior that is going to the cross the next day. Why does he wash somebody's feet and pray for unity when he knows he's going to die the next day? Perhaps it's because they were so important, so important. So I would urge us to consider, how we maintain unity here. Do we let our knowledge puff us up, or do we seek to serve others and to be unified in our church? I am concerned about us. Remember, I challenged you. What happens when we move buildings? Are we going to be unified in that approach, or are we going to have to argue about how everything's arranged and colors and all that kind of stuff? So I urge you to keep thinking about that. So we're happy that the team, we can support the team. They're doing a great job. If you read the newsletter, you'll see baptisms, the number of people they've worked with. And so we're thankful that we can work with them now. I want you to consider where you stand in your Christian life, especially around the aspects of serving other and unity. And as we close this morning, if you have a need in your life, perhaps you haven't put on Christ in baptism. I talked to one young man this morning that I said, yes, I hope one day that you, I look forward to the time you make a decision to give your life to Christ, as several of our young people have recently. So if you have any need this morning, would you please come while we stand and sing?
Would you for Jesus and be all the good? Would you walk with Him within the narrow road? Would you have the very word to carry all your love? Let Him have His way with thee. His heart can make you what you ought to be.
Constant rest, would you prove Him true each providential test? Would you in His service labor always at your best? Let Him have His way with thee. His power can make you what you ought to be. His blood can cleanse your heart and make you free. His love can fill your soul, and you will see 'twas best for Him.